Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we find it fitting that Jim Harbaugh's holding his spring game on April Fool's Day. I am Tyler Hayworth. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our archive shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Ryan McCumber joins me as we take a look at Deontay Davis's draft stock, if Valentine is the player of the year, and if the rivalry with Wisconsin can sustain itself without Bo Ryan and Madison. And we're going to do all that. We are going to recap the Wisconsin game. First things first, though, we do want to apologize to anybody that was listening live to our show. I know we had a few live listeners for what happened there. Apparently, some people have yet to reach puberty and can't keep a mature head about themselves. So we do want to apologize for the vulgarity that was shouted out on the show yesterday. But, I mean, let's get to it again today. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Tyler. How about you, man?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm doing great if you can't tell already today based on the last 15 minutes we've been talking. So let's start with your initial game against Wisconsin the other night.
Michigan State's defense was just lights out. I think that was the best defensive game they've played this year. Deontay Davis shut down Nigel Hayes. And, Matt Costello didn't have a great game offensively, but when you've got Bryn Forbes and Denzel Valentine going off, I mean, and Aaron Harris puts in, you know, his share of points, you're going to win most of your games. And, Michigan State just, it was a defensive clinic from them against Wisconsin. Like I said, probably the best defense they played all year. Wisconsin was one of the hottest teams in the country coming into that game. They'd won 7 straight. And the Badgers are fighting to get a tournament berth, and Michigan State just beat snot out of them. It was really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the lower scoring outputs, but you said Wisconsin, they are fighting for a tournament berth, which means their backs are against the wall. And this Wisconsin team, even without Ryan, with Greg Gardner established, I think even before Ryan was there, like, this team will go out and they'll give you everything every night. The fact that they had their backs up against the wall, they had a chance to all but guarantee themselves a spot in the NCAA tournament. They didn't get the job done. That was in part because of, you said it was Valentine, Forbes, and Harris that carried the show. Now, that does take us to the most recent topic you and I talked about. We did have an issue with Aaron Harris shooting 27% over the last 6 games prior to this one. Just stupid turnovers left and right. Despite the fact he has improved on defense, he still had just the rookie 101 type mental lapses to lose his minutes until he steps up. He stepped up, and so I wasn't expecting to see Alden Ellis as much as I've been campaigning for him, if you will. So I think Aaron Harris has stepped up. If he does go cold again, I see no problem putting in Alden Ellis, but that was a great performance by him. Obviously a better one by Forbes, and a better one yet by Valentine, who is really making the case for the player of the year, which we'll talk about in a second. But over, with the exception of Aaron Harris, I think the biggest takeaway for me, Matt Costello had an off night. Michigan State still beat a very good Wisconsin team.
Oh, absolutely. Matt Costello has been, you can argue he's been first to all Big Ten team caliber since conference play started. And, he didn't have his greatest game. I mean, he played well defensively, I thought. You know, Ethan Happ, he got his share. But, Matt Costello, I mean, if you get, the thing that worries me about Michigan State is, what if Denzel Valentine doesn't have a big game? I mean, we haven't seen that very often this year. I mean, he is consistently great. But if you get into the tournament and Denzel Valentine doesn't have a big game, you really need Forbes, Harris, and Costello to step up, pick up the load. And I mean, I think they can do that, but you know, I think you need three guys, Michigan State, to make a big run. I think you need. I really think you need three guys to have a big game, or at least score in double digits, and you know, have a good defensive performance for Michigan State to advance far in the tournament.
Yeah, and I mean, yesterday showed that, hey, they can get it done. If had a few cold games here and there, but they've all resulted in losses. So I think that might be where the line is. Obviously, if Valentine goes cold, I think there might be a little bit of an exception to the rule just because he can be a facilitator. And if Brent Forbes is having a game like he had, let's say against Oakland when Valentine was out, then I think Michigan State can still get the job done because they don't need points from Valentine. Because Valentine, right now, without Tum-Tum, which I know he's played a little bit, but without Tum-Tum, he is their best perimeter defender. He's easily their best facilitator with or without Tum-Tum in the lineup. And so he can win the games in other ways. He doesn't necessarily need to score. Obviously, dropping as many points as he did the other night, which, find his numbers here, 24 points with 10 assists and 7 rebounds is going to help you win. But if he has a game where he goes 10-8-7, I mean, I think Michigan State can still get the job done in the tournament, at least early on.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean, I don't think Denzel has to score 20 points every game. I mean, if he's going to get it, if he's getting it done in other facets of the game, I think that they're fine. But I mean, if he has an off game, you know, that's what worries me. It's not him not scoring enough points. I don't think that's needed from him. If he doesn't, that's great. But you know, if he has an off game, which I don't really remember him having much of an off game this year, that's what worries me about him. He's just playing at an elite level where I don't think it'll happen, but if it does, that's something to worry about.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I think, like I said, I think you can get it from other facets of the game that, other than just scoring with him. The thing that worries me is there is a stretch against Wisconsin, and you've seen it periodically throughout the year. He does try to do a little bit too much because he knows how important he is to the team. That's the one thing that worries me about him. I think everything else, he's going to be just fine at. You know, he is a senior. A lot of times, early on throughout his career, he didn't let the game come to him, and he tried to force a few things. He's not doing that much anymore, but he did it a little bit against Wisconsin. And those are the moments where things could really turn upside down for Michigan State, especially in closer games, obviously, when you're running away from Wisconsin or Michigan, it's a different story. But sometimes he does try to force his hand a little bit too much. I think that's the one issue with him, because doesn't score, he'll still get you the rebounds and the assists. Problem is when those turnovers start to pile up. And I think that's the one spot where there should be any concern about him. Now, let's turn our attention to the defensive star of the game, if you will, Deontay Davis. There's been a lot of talk about the NBA draft and whether or not he's going to go after this year. He's projected quite highly. I think you looked at Draft Express yesterday. He was there, number 21?
Or something like that. Number 21 prospect overall.
Yeah, and I mean, typically we've tried to avoid this talk because it wasn't an issue for me until he started to learn to lock down on the perimeter, and, well, he did it. He figured it out against Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was absolutely lights out defensively. And, you know, it was just, like I said, an absolute defensive clinic, especially from Deontay Davis. You know, he shut down Nigel Hayes, who is arguably an all-Big Ten first team All Big Ten player. Nigel Hayes went 1-for-13 from the floor and had only 5 points in 33 minutes. And, I think that might be some of the most we've seen Deontay Davis on the floor for one game. He played almost 30 minutes. He did not disappoint. He shut down Nigel Hayes the whole entire game. Like you said, he covered him on the perimeter exceptionally. This guy is a fringe lottery pick with how weak this year's draft is, you can't blame the guy for leaving. I mean, I think he can use another year to bulk up and, show that he can defend like that on a consistent basis. And next year he'd be able to showcase his abilities on offense a bit more. But the NBA doesn't draft based on college results. It drafts more based on potential. And, if Deontay Davis is a promised lottery pick, I think Tom Izzo tells him to go. But if he's on the bubble, I think that Tom Izzo will tell him to, lay out your choices, check out what you want to do. And, I think it's going to be – this is baseless speculation, but I think it's 50-50 shot. He leaves early.
Yeah, and I said a while ago, if he learns to defend on the perimeter, he can go early. But that doesn't mean I don't think he'd benefit from another year, especially with Matt Costello. He's going to be the post presence on offense. He's the guy on offense in the post. It's not going to be Clark. It's not going to be Schilling. It's going to be Davis, at least on the inside, because on the outside, you still do have some threats. You obviously have the Bridges and all of those guys coming in, and then you still have Aaron Harris returning, who maybe after a year actually playing in Izzo's system as opposed to watching it, maybe he does get a little bit better. So I think that he'd benefit from another year. Right now, though, the way he played against Wisconsin, the way he shut down Irvin, who more or less, he's not even a power forward, but he is in Michigan system because they do like to go a little bit smaller and work the perimeter. He's essentially a small forward. He'll be a shooting guard at the next level. I think Davis has done a great job over the last few games where he's actually had to dance around the three-point line. I mean, the performance against Nigel Hayes, you said it, he was he's an All-Big Ten candidate. You obviously got to throw Hammonds, Valentine, Utah, Yogi Ferrell in there. Might have to look at Bryant McIntosh of Northwestern. Star power in the conference, and Hayes may or may not get it. But Hayes has been one of those guys that you always see from Wisconsin who, during their senior year, they break out, they turn into a superstar. You saw it with John Luehr. You saw it with Frank Kaminsky, even though Kaminsky was starting to break through as a junior. And you just see the, recycled bigs who can step outside for Wisconsin, who always give Michigan State trouble. And I think for the first time in a long time, the way Davis played, they didn't.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, Wisconsin has these bigs constantly year in and year out. They can step outside and knock down a three-pointer and play on the perimeter. And, you don't see that as often as you will in the NBA, but that was a great audition for Deontay Davis. And like we have said multiple times, he did exceptionally well.
Yeah. Turn our attention, kind of focus a little bit more on Wisconsin, though, because Bo Ryan is gone. He dominated Tom Izzo early on. Izzo won, 9 of the last 14 meetings against Ryan, and so there was a little bit of a rivalry. Ultimately, Ryan won the series with Izzo, 16-12, something you're not going to see often, especially in the Big Ten. Does this rivalry maintain its pace moving forward with Greg Gard at the helm?
I do believe so, especially after you see Wisconsin pressing with Michigan State's third-string guys in the game, late in the game when the game's out of hand. I thought that was a little bit bush league from Greg Gard. I realize that he is, you know, he's fighting for his job. Wisconsin's fighting for an NCAA berth. But at the same time, I don't think that closing the gap a little bit closer for this game would have made much of a difference. I think that he's done enough to keep that job. But, I mean, there's always been animosity between Michigan State and Wisconsin. I think it goes for football, too. I mean, it's not just it's not just basketball. It's both ways. These two teams do not like each other. It's been like that for a long time. I think it's one of the – it's not a traditional rivalry or anything. But I think it's one of the better matchups we see in the Big Ten all around for both the revenue sports. I see this going forward being heated throughout. I mean, it's just I don't see it going away.
Yeah, Guard won the first meeting, which that's impressive given the slump Wisconsin was in. They were 9-9 at the time, 15-10 now. So that just shows you what type of role that they've been on, including wins against Indiana and Maryland. And look, I think Greg Gard is well on his way to losing the interim title. We know that this is an audition for him, essentially. But I think winning the first meeting, I think pressing at the end of the game definitely did not help. Because here's the thing. You said that he was just trying to make it closer. So when, you know, they go back and look at the final scores or whatever, it looks better when the AD and whoever, when Alvarez and company look at that. But there's no shame in a double-digit loss in East Lansing this year. There's no shame in that. And I think you're right. This rivalry has weird how it kind of played out. You get it in football. You get it in basketball. You get it in the two major college sports. And I think if you look at basketball and football combined, I think this is a bigger rivalry than Michigan right now. The way things have played out as of late, you can obviously Michigan and football will always be the end-all be-all of rivalries when it comes to Michigan State athletics. But I think if you incorporate both of the revenue sports, you look at it across the board like that, I don't think the Michigan rivalry in basketball stacks up the way that the Wisconsin one does. And I think you start to see a little bit more of a consistency with the Wisconsin-Michigan State one in football. So I think this rivalry would be huge moving forward. It's going to be big for the Big Ten. Michigan State finally starts getting Wisconsin back in football, which is very big for the conference, I think, when you can have more of those higher-up teams in the West play the higher-up teams in the East. You saw Iowa avoided everybody last year. Wisconsin avoided everybody last year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out moving forward, especially on the basketball end. Like I said, you got a new coach in Greg Gard. Things are going to be interesting as far as that goes. Let's make a smooth transition to Denzel Valentine in his Player of the Year. And right now it's looking like a three-horse race.
Yeah, in my opinion, before the game on Thursday, I was saying it's Buddy Hield. But after that game, the way that Hield played in his last game against Texas Tech, I am on the Denzel Valentine for National Player of the Year bandwagon. I just think the way that he makes his team, everybody around him better, and how much he means to his team is, I think it outweighs everything. I mean, I just don't see how you can't give that guy National Player of the Year when he's just white. He is having a historic season. You could argue that he is having the best individual season for a player under Tom Izzo. I mean, you can really make that argument at this point. Yeah. And you know, I mean, Buddy Hield's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that he affects every facet of the game the way Denzel Valentine does. He doesn't. I mean, it's
right.
Denzel Valentine is another. He's like another version of Draymond Green. I mean, it's, I don't know how else to describe it.
He's the guard version of the Day Day, And you're right as far as Buddy Hield goes. Ben Simmons, he impacts the game like Valentine does. And, you know, you look at the rebounds, you look at the assists, you look at the points, especially given the fact that LSU doesn't use Ben Simmons like they should. But at the same time, LSU's a team that's fighting to get into the tournament. Michigan State's looking like a 2 seed right now. And I think I think that you got to kind of consider that. Is Denzel Valentine the best player in the league, in the country? No, that award, that would go to a Buddy Hield. That would go to a Ben Simmons. But he's, without question, the most valuable to his team. Because all you get is points from Hield. That's essentially all you get from it. You get everything from Valentine. He stepped up. He started at small forward. He's playing point now without Tom Tom. I think that it has to go to him, because I think, and look, you have the Heisman Trophy, which just goes to the best individual performer regardless. But I think in college, you look at these guys who, not only the way they impact games like Simmons and Hield, but you also do kind of take into consideration an MVP-type voting where, okay, what would this team do without this guy? I think you can take Ben Simmons off of LSU. Yeah, they're probably not even in the Buddy Hield off Oklahoma. They still have other guys who can step up. You look at, I think it's Isaiah Cousins. So
yep.
They have other guys who can step up in that role. You take Valentine off Michigan State. Bryn Forbes and Matt Costello are your focal points. And with all due respect, you know, Forbes plays lights out. Costello plays lights out, but in part is because Valentine releases the pressure off of them. And without Valentine, this team isn't fourth in the Big Ten. This team is almost dancing around a 7 or 8 seed in the tournament. Because Ford can't create his own shot.
I agree with you. I think that that's absolutely fair. Denzel Valentine makes everybody around him better. Matt Costello, I don't think that he's as good this year with Denzel giving him the looks that he gets. Bryn Forbes gets a lot of looks in three-point land, and a lot of that is because Denzel Valentine draws a lot of attention. And if Denzel Valentine is not on this team, you could argue that this is a potential bubble team, and, I think that Valentine, is, like I said, he is, like you said earlier, he's a guard version of Draymond Green. He makes everybody around him better, and, I really think that you can argue that this is, I mean, if Michigan State wins the national title or he wins player of the year, I think you've got to consider retiring his number. I mean, I really think that he has been that good.
Okay, I'll agree with that under one condition. Charlie Bell's number gets retired first, because that's way past due in my opinion.
I 100% agree with that. Charlie Bell's number should be retired.
One analogy that I want to bring up is really quick about Valentine giving Costello his looks. It's obviously not to this extreme, because Costello does have a little more skill. He's got more post moves in the paint. He's just not as physically imposing. You want to go back to Michigan when they had Trey Burke and Mitch McGarry. McGarry got a lot of his points because Trey Burke was driving and the help had to come over. And that's the same type of concept that's going on with Valentine and Costello. Obviously, Costello, though, they do run a few more set for him than what Michigan ran for McGarry, but it's the same concept as without the attention going to Valentine, Costello doesn't get the looks that he does.
Right, exactly.
So we'll turn our attention to how the win against Wisconsin impacts Michigan State. Actually, really quick, one more point I want to bring up. Look at the schedule, too, that Michigan State has left. They have Ohio State twice. They have Rutgers. And Penn State, I believe, are the four games. If Valentine doesn't put up monster numbers in all of those games, it's going to be a disappointment. And so I think this is going to help boost his case. Now, let's turn our attention to how the win impacts Michigan State in the Big Ten and as far as the tournament team, because we did kind of already touch on that.
Yeah. You know, I really looking at the teams in the Big Ten, starting out with that, some of the remaining schedules for the teams that are all clustered together are ridiculous. You know, I think let me bring up Iowa's schedule. I think that they have Indiana, Michigan. Let's see. They end with Wisconsin. They play Wisconsin at home, at Ohio State, at home against Indiana, and they play at Michigan. You know, I think Iowa could possibly go 2-2 in that stretch. I think Maryland closes with a tough schedule. I think Purdue's got a couple tough games left. I mean, you could see Michigan State somehow sneaking in, getting a share of the Big Ten. Iowa's in first place right now with only 3 losses. Michigan State has 5 losses. So, I mean, I could see Michigan State somehow, if they can get some help. I mean, they really have an outside shot at winning the Big Ten title. I don't think it'll happen, but there's an outside shot there.
Yeah, I don't think it will happen, and I've said it since the second loss to Iowa. Michigan State's out of the Big Ten race. Could they share it? Yeah, but Iowa would have the tiebreak because they ran through MSU twice. So it's been about seeding, but right now the seeding options look a little bit better. They're looking probably, I think you could say, at a 2 seed. If, you know, they continue to win, if chalk holds, if you will, over the next 4 games, you're looking at a 2 or 3 seed in the Big Ten, which means another bye for Michigan State, because they haven't experienced anything less than that as far as that goes. But if they win the Big Ten championship, if they continue to push forward and they do end up winning the Big Ten tournament, I think this team could end up, with how strong they've played and some of the slip-ups from the UNCs, Oklahoma's, Iowa's, Maryland's, whoever else, I think they could somehow scrum their way into a 1 seed.
I 100% agree with that. And I've been saying that since they beat Indiana. I mean, if they can win out, I mean, I really think they can pull off a 1 with the way that the teams in front of Michigan State have been losing. I think there was a stat a couple nights ago that I saw that this is the second most at this point that an AP top 5 team has lost. I think it was 33 times. So, I mean, there's no great team this year. I mean, that's been made pretty obvious. And if Michigan State wins out, you know, they beat Purdue and Iowa maybe in the Big Ten tournament, I really think that they deserve a 1 seed, especially if they went out with their, you know, their non-conference resume that they had. You know, they got wins against Kansas. I mean, Providence has fallen off a little bit, but they beat Providence. Louisville.
Louisville and Florida's starting to come out a little bit. So.
Yep. You can make a really good argument that Michigan State should be a 1 if they win out. I think that they'll take into some effect the way that they've been playing as of late. And, we'll see. I think Michigan State should win the rest of their conference games that they've got. I mean, at Ohio State worries me a little bit on Tuesday, but the rest of the game should be pretty easy. They should be easy wins.
Yeah, I'd say with Valentine, this team is probably among, you said there's no great team. I think they're right up there with Valentine. But that does it for today, Ryan. Thanks for coming on. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.